Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail. Hey guys, I hope you're not sick of hearing from me yet. Just wanted to pop in here this morning and say happy Easter to those who celebrate. And I hope that you are having a wonderful day and enjoying your Sunday. I want to also say thank you to everybody who has been listening. We have almost 9,000 downloads since February, which is just like mind-blowing to me. So thank you. You guys are incredible. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out to me and telling me that you love the show. It means so much. I am my biggest critic. And so I love hearing that you guys enjoy the format and you guys enjoy the conversational aspect of it and the educational pop-ins. I love all that stuff. So thank you so much for all the constructive criticism and positive feedback. I absolutely love it. Keep it coming. It's what makes me grow and what makes me better. So by all means, let me know how you feel. I also wanted to say thank you to several of you guys who have supported the podcast so far and bought me some tacos. I'm so excited. Here's one. It says, "Hi, Roberta. I love Life After MLM and your approach to educating people about the many dangers of MLMs. You've made my Sundays better, so I'm sending a couple of smackaroos to say big thanks." Which, I mean, hey, that's great. Thank you so much. This one says, "Enjoy. Love the podcast. So many rocks to overturn in this area. Sure, it's a niche, but every woman has been to an MLM party. It's so widespread that someone has been affected by it directly and indirectly." Thank you so much. And then this one, "These episodes are so good," which makes me feel so good too. Thank you for that. That's amazing. I got this one this morning. "You deserve a taco feast on the regular. Thanks for all the great stuff you do for people you haven't met yet, but still give your heart and time to." And that one made me feel like just really good because I'm so glad that this podcast is reaching people and this podcast is helping people. And I also wanted to say, and this is sort of a direct correlation, but indirectly because it wasn't my main focus, but we have actually helped people leave their MLMs already. I've gotten some emails that some of my past guest friends listened to their episodes and related and decided to leave their MLM. And that's amazing. So, again, from the bottom of my heart, you guys, thank you. We are making a difference. We are reaching people and making real change. It's happening much faster than I thought it would, which is great. Oh, I'm so excited for what's in store. Enjoy this episode. It's a fun one. Okay, so here is a fun interview today. We're going to be talking about an MLM that I really don't know anything about. My guest today is Dina, and she was, I'll let her tell. I'll let her tell you. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us, tell us where you were before MLM came into your life and how you got into it and what it was, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I'm Dina. And I am a wife, a mom, a regular run-of-the-mill type of person, I feel like. Where was I? I mean, that was a lot of questions. where was I when MLM came into my life? I was 19, freshly married, which is like a whole thing in itself. 19, freshly married. And before that, I had heard of MLMs. My dad was in a couple, Melaleuca, I think, mm-hmm. or like there was one Mona V. Was it Mona V with the nasty the wine bottles? Yeah. So
the Nani juice.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And it came in these like big weird. So he was in those. And so that was like,
MLM was like just super normal in your life and was sort of always around.
Kind of, yeah. I just knew that like my dad bought into something and got a bunch of big bottles shipped to the house and then never got rid of them. So I'm just being real with you. Like, they just sat in the fridge. Right. So that was kind of where that was at. But I was, 19, freshly newlywed. And my father-in-law was like, you need to meet my friends. And you know, they've got this thing going on and you'll really love it. You'll do well. Side note, my husband's in sales. So he's like super good at what he does. I commend him for it, but he sells like actual product, right. Like cars and jewelry and things like that. So yeah, he was like, this is a perfect opportunity for you guys. Just come meet my friends. That was like the number one, just come meet them. Know anything, know nothing, whatever. So we go to meet my father-in-law's friends and they show us this PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And the PowerPoint is about the product, which is Kyani. To this day, I mean, all I really know about it is that it's Alaskan wild blueberry I can't call it supplements. Like juice.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like it came in a regimen. So like sunrise, sunset, and then there was a boost. It's been so many years. It's like a boost that's supposed to like give you energy. I forget what it's called, but basically it's like a three-step program. Right. And that's kind of like what it is. And it was like, why choose pharmaceuticals if you can have nutraceuticals? Right. So right. That was something that they were super into. This is before I got diagnosed with lupus. This is before I decided to take my health seriously. So mm-hmm. I was like, why do we want this? Like, why, like, what is the purpose? For me, I've always been kind of a skeptic, but right. We decided to just join. And
how much was it? What was the cost? Do you remember? Was it a significant cost or was it like nothing? Like
it was over a grand. It was over a grand.
Over a grand. Wow. Okay.
Because it was like, it was one of those, you don't have to have inventory on you, but you need to use the product to be able to be a testament
right.
of your product.
That's what we call MLM double speak.
Well, people don't know. What was it? People don't care about how much you know, unless they know how much you care. Is that double speak too? That was used a lot.
Yeah. It's like the good example is like, join this business. It's so easy. You can do it from your phone. And then you join it and you're like, I'm having problems. And mm-hmm. and then they say, well, no one said it was easy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not working hard enough. You don't really right. want this, do you?
It's like, yeah. So they say one thing, but they say it's a very interesting concept with the double speak.
Right. Right. So that's yeah, you have to be a testament, you know, of good health, and
you don't have to carry the inventory, but you have to have enough inventory that you get to use it all the time. So you're basically carrying inventory anyway.
Right.
So how much inventory did you have to have that on hand?
I don't even remember. Like, I just remember the back end being confusing. They also, so they sold on the business side
right.
a little bit more. I feel like
the opportunity.
So exciting. And for them, they called it done for you. It's all done for you. That's their like main thing. Like they literally like,
right. It's all done for you.
Done
so
for
easy.
You. Right. Like they like, we have an app, it's all done for you. Like you get your upline on a call wow. and da, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
You know, we're gonna go into business and we're gonna make big money. So there were a lot of PBRs, like the little meetings in people's living rooms.
Okay.
You know, so like bring your friends.
Big recruitment meetings, like at people's houses, like big leaders that were kind of local would throw these.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Yes.
Trainings or opportunity trainings.
Well, and then on top of that, they had like the different status trainings. It was like emerald and above you could go, or like diamond and above you can go. And
okay.
You know, all that big stuff. And so we we did all that.
Those names that mean nothing.
Yeah, no, I'm looking up the, because I honestly forgot the name of the third product. So it was the sunrise, which you take in the morning, the sunset, which you take at night, and then the nitro and the nitro effects. Yeah, nitro effects. And that was like, they sold it as like an end all be all stamina energy.
Wow.
Okay. Which, I mean, for a lot of people, that sounds like a good idea, right? Because we're like, I don't know about you, but like I down a lot of coffee. Right. And so I'm like, well, I mean, I'm down.
Right.
Down.
I mean, who doesn't want more energy, right? Like, I mean, that seems like such a silly thing. Like, it's like somebody saying like, who doesn't want more time, or who doesn't want more like anything that's good? Who doesn't want more ice cream? I'm like, I will have another scoop. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't want more energy? That seems so silly. So well, it's like, I mean, obviously it's a product that people are going to want to buy or want to get information about. Like everybody needs more energy.
Exactly. Well, and with a done for you, you're going to have more time and more energy too. It's done for you. So, so that's kind of how we got into it. And they had like a Tuesday meeting every Tuesday at a Yard House. I remember that. I remember going every Tuesday and getting so dressed up and going to Yard House. And uplines were there. It was really fun.
Like pre, you know, like pre-COVID memories.
Oh, I my left foot to go to a Kayani business meeting on a Tuesday.
So you're at the Yard House. You guys are hanging out, and you're doing these trainings and recruitments every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
And that's an expense, because I'm assuming that you're drinking and eating while you're there. And it's,
of course,
it's a business write off.
Oh, you can totally write it off. I never
just write off the whole thing. Just write everything off.
I never did.
Everything's a write off.
I never did. Oh, so yeah, so we would do like they would rent out a meeting room at a hotel, at a local hotel. We would do like a meeting there, and then we'd go to the Yard House afterward. So it was kind of like a
business, get in and then
watch the watch the presentation, bring your friends, and then let's go be friends.
Right. Yeah.
I'm doing business air quotes
and
right
then
now.
Go hang out and have the pleasure. Like,
yeah. Join my business.
Like, let our hair down and loosen our tie. And like,
hey, hon.
Just get to know us on a personal level.
Right.
I'm a 7-figure earner. Just ask me anything, everybody. Oh yeah. Okay. Totally.
Well, and the thing is too, like some of these top earners are like they were showing us bank statements and right. And then like I was like, well, ask
that's
to my husband. No, to my husband, like in his ear. I'm like, ask him if it's a screenshot. Like, ask him if it's a screenshot. And dude's like, no, like, and he logged into the bank account. Like, he was so serious. He's like, no, you need to see. So they're like showing bank statements and all this stuff.
No, at
like,
these meetings at these hotels, they're having people on stage like logging in and showing their bank accounts to the people.
No, this is at dinner.
This is at dinner. Yeah. This is after. This is at dinner when it's really personal.
No, they can't show bank. I don't think they can show bank.
That's how they. That's another MLM doublespeak, right? Like they can't get away with it at the actual meeting.
Right.
But nobody tells us what we can do at the Yard House.
At the. The fire pits. Don't forget, sis. The fire pits. Don't forget. So that's basically what it was. I mean,
they're like showing their bank accounts and being like,
at dinner,
I totally have this much money.
Yeah.
That is so.
They're like, look at this fat deposit. Look at this deposit.
Like, what other business does that? Like, if you work at Target, like the manager's not like, you should work here. Look at my bank accounts.
Look at what Target Corp just put in my bank account right now. Direct deposit. But they hold it every week because they don't believe me.
Target, like, because I use Target as an example, because the Huns use like Target as an example, like, why shop at Target when you can shop with me? So I like to also use the same companies they use.
Well, and isn't it a thing too for them to be like, well, You're already, what is it? You're already an influencer for things you buy at Target anyway for free.
Like, how many of you guys shared those Lady Gaga Oreos and none of you got paid for it? I'm like, are you serious right now? That's not the same.
It's not how this works, sweetheart.
I'm sorry.
It's not how this works.
Ooh.
I'm looking back over there.
Ooh.
I'm looking over at Kayani's website right now because it's been years. And I mean, it's the same thing. Nutraceuticals. Oh, nutritionals. They changed it.
Oh.
Yes. They still call it the triangle. The triangle of health.
I saw that too.
The triangle of health.
And what is the triangle of health? Please explain.
It's the sunset, the sunrise, the nitro.
But how does that like... how does that tie in with Alaskan blueberries and this like false indigenous name?
Oh,
and
my goodness. Like,
how does this all tie together?
So at the meetings, you know, like when they're doing, looking back on this, it's just,
right.
It's taken me places. Like at the meetings when they pitch it, right? It's essentially a pitch.
Right.
So they're like telling us about how Kayani and the name and the wild Alaskan blueberries and, I don't know, don't quote me on it being false. I have it somewhere. I can look it up, but, yeah, I guess Kayani doesn't really mean like health in the indigenous language. Yeah,
I looked that up too. And it said something. Let me see if I can find it because I was just looking
at it. It's terrible.
Cause I was like, it says, Kayani claims that its name means strong medicine in an indigenous Alaskan, and I'm going to say this wrong, so I'm not even going to try, but in an indigenous Alaskan language, but they reached out to the Sea Alaska Heritage, which is a nonprofit organization that promotes Southeast Alaskan Native culture, and they were able to refute it, saying that the actual phrase is completely different and not even remotely close. But Kayani says that it's actually a modified version of a word that the Kayani founders believed to mean, among other things, strong medicine. And that it's adequate in one or more Native American language.
If you believe hard enough, you can achieve.
They believe... they did not consult anybody from the language or anybody that speaks language, but they do believe that the translation is adequate.
They believed it hard enough.
Yeah. They're like, we think it's adequate. So it is.
Right. Period. Like that's just right. How it goes.
They're like, that's not what it means. And they're like, well, we still think that. So it
is. No. Yeah, it does, hon. It does.
Wow.
But yeah. So yeah, the sunrise and the nitro and oh my goodness, I can't. Every time I say Kayani sunrise, I can taste it. I can taste it in the back of my throat.
Yeah, it's you right here.
My mom has a bottle sitting in her medicine cabinet from like four years ago.
It's definitely expired.
No, it can't expire. It's wild Alaskan blueberry, allegedly.
So what were you feeling at these meetings when you would go? Because you're in... right? And you're selling and are you recruiting? Are you building a team? Are you doing well?
So that was the thing. That was the thing that they pushed the hardest, was just to get people on your team, and set up these calls, get your upline on the call and, you know, get them in however you can get them in. So we had like a car program, but the car had to be white and it had to have the emblem on the side and all that stuff. Once you reached, I don't know, a certain level, you got compensated. So they were like, use that as a selling point, or use the done for you as a selling point. Or if it comes down to it, use the charity, because they had a charity as well. Oh. I think one of the CEOs or founders was also tied into like Idaho Potatoes. I think he like owned something in Idaho Potatoes. And so they did
because potato it's an packs. Idaho-based company.
Right. So I think, right, okay. I think his name was Jim Hansen. He owned something with Idaho Potatoes. And so that was like, they did potato packs where they like went overseas and like fed people with potatoes. So they were like, use the charity to like sell as a selling point to get people on your team.
They wanted you to use their potato charity as a recruitment tactic.
Yes.
Wow.
Correct.
That's
yeah.
That's a new one. I've never heard about the potato charity. I've never.
I don't know if it's still going, but here.
That's interesting.
Cryoni potato hack. Ooh, so, sis. I look up Cryoni potato pack, and the first thing comes up is the S word. Scam.
Of course.
Assistance. So it's Cryoni potato pack, PAK. And it is being marketed as potato pack disaster relief.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm looking at it right now. Like, it's literally a picture of a hurricane, like an eye of a hurricane.
Yeah.
And a potato pack in front of it.
Wow. That's incredible.
So basically for every like every dollar you spend, it like comes back as a point or something like that with their back end. It's been years. I'm sorry.
No, of course.
Like for every you know, person you got on your team, every purchase you made, whatever, a bit of that went to the charity for the potato packs. But that's insane to me.
And they just sent potatoes overseas?
Yeah, I think they were like freeze dried. Like the
okay
flakes
to like places that needed.
So it says to ensure that we have the inventory to support this need as well as other areas of the world, we have created a special potato pack promotion that you can send 10 servings of potato pack. In addition, Cryoni's founders will match each purchase with an additional 10 servings of potato pack. The Cryoni potato pack provides life-sustaining nutrition to those who lack the means to feed themselves. Designed by the Scientific Advisory Board, each serving contains over 10 grams of protein along with essential vitamins and minerals. Comes in a quick and convenient pouch. Note, your potato pack is donated directly to those in need and you will not receive any product. The fact that they had to put that at the bottom.
But it's just like, it's a charity that I'm assuming they're also created, like, generating wealth for themselves as board members on as well, to send potato flakes overseas to or people that have hunger.
Well, and so like we went to
areas
one of those
of hunger. That's
big rallies, and they had like pictures and like a whole slideshow with like a feel good song in the background of everyone like literally passing. You know what I'm saying? The typical like African kid passing one.
Like how predatory.
A little bit. Attack.
How just gross to use imagery like that to
but it's all to make you feel good.
Emotions.
Yeah.
Play on people's
to make
emotions.
You feel better about yourself.
Right.
Like you're doing something.
Well, I'm going to send these potatoes overseas to these poor children, and I'm, you know, I'm goes right into a lot of like white guilt and stuff too. Like, this is what I need to do to be a better person and send these things. But it's a scam of a charity too.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, God. And like no one, and when you look at me, you don't think I'm African. I'm North African.
Oh, wow.
So when they use the general, like,
yeah, you're beautiful. Africa, she's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. But like the kids in Africa thing grinds my absolute gears. It's because like, I'm an African kid. Like, you know, it's like, we don't all look the same. We're not all.
Right. And it's, yeah, right. It's always a very tiny, like distended belly, like very like malnourished image that is just predatory.
Yeah. Predatory. I feel like it's used as a, I don't know. It's used as like a leg up. Yeah. Like a leg up, like, oh, look what we're doing. Join our team.
Right.
You know,
don't worry about all the scam and all the money that everybody's losing. Cause we're sending potatoes.
We're sending it there.
We're helping everybody.
See, look at this.
There are definitely, oh my gosh. And there you are. You have this very, just very like stereotypical picture.
They're all holding
of a child that's hungry. It's heartbreaking that that businesses do that. I mean, they're not businesses, but it's heartbreaking that these companies, there's other MLMs that do this exact same thing that have these false charities that are just have been debunked so many times as being bullshit. It's interesting to see that Kiani is not alone in
well, and I feel like that's a big that selling factor. Like, oh, the CEO is Idaho Potatoes, so he knows what he's doing in business. Plus, he's taking all his wealth and he's sending it over to impoverished nations. And it's like, right. Mm-hmm. You know, for somebody who wants to feel good about themselves, that's like A1 steak sauce, you know? Like that's what gets them going. So, and I understand how like people can get sucked into that so easily.
Yeah. I did. Well, people just really want to be better and help people.
Right.
You know, it's all about helping your neighbor and helping your friends and helping your community and helping as much as you can and
yeah,
being a part of a community. Being a part of that, they manipulate that need to be a part of something and to be bigger than you are, and that societal pressure to be more than you need to be as well, to really suck people into these scams. So, how many people did you end up having on a team? Did you have a team?
No
team.
I think we got maybe one person under us. I felt dirty. I felt so grimy getting people in, like they're sending me text, like pre-written messages. Here's what you say if someone says the rebuttals.
Right.
To every single.
Like a script.
Yes. Completely. Complete with emojis.
To just copy and paste. And like
on Android, it sucks to be you, but like there were like emojis even. So yeah, no, I just felt so wrong trying to get people into this because I mean, because they tell you, you know, find, I think it was like 10 people in your hot leads, right? Find 10 people closest to you that you know for sure are gonna get into this business with you. Once you exhaust that list, you have to go on to like 10, 15 more. And right. Then you start hitting people up that you used to go to high school with, right? And you turn into that person.
Right.
And but it's different like, this time.
I haven't talked to you since you like threw spaghetti on me. What are you doing?
When does that happen though? When does that ever happen?
I don't know. Maybe I watched too many John Hughes movies.
I love it. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, like that whole like teaching people to just get five and then teaching them to just get five. Like, if you teach somebody to do that within 13 levels of getting five, you run out of people on earth. So it's just, it's not a sustainable way to even contact people. It's just, you run out of people eventually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too. Like this may be related. It may not be, I'm not quite sure. But like when I first got into like the mom side of Instagram, uh-huh. Girl, oh, it yeah. was like insane. I had just had my daughter and I got maybe 3 to 4 messages a week talking about, are you ready to lose the baby weight? Like, are you ready to lose the baby weight? Are you ready to lose the baby weight? Because I had pictures of my daughter, like just born. Like, let me know when you're ready, girl. Like, we're in this together. I'm like, first and foremost, you don't know anything about me. You don't know anything about me. This is after I had gotten out of MLM, so I already knew what was up,
right? Like, so like you saw it and you were like,
about me. Like, ma'am, do you even follow me? Like, first of all, ma'am, do you even know me? And then like sometimes it would be so obviously copied and pasted that they'd have the last girl's name in it,
right? Or it just says put their name here.
Or like, hey,
never take
dot
that
dot
off. Right, a little parentheses and you're like, is that supposed to be my name?
That doesn't sit right with me, honey. Yeah. I don't like that.
It is. That's really gross. Like,
I mean, know.
Totally predictable and not at all uncommon, but to be given a script of like, oh, well, when they say that they can't afford it, then these are a couple things that you can refute them this way. And if they say they don't have the time, then you can refute them this way. And if they say that.
Yeah. Well, for us, it was like, they would bring people up and like, they'd give you the, I lived in my car and I had to sell all my belongings. And if I'm willing to do that.
I was on food stamps and.
Yeah. My car was about to get repossessed, so I parked it in my friend's garage for 3 weeks, and I did this.
Their main line was, if I gave you the keys to my Audi R8 parked in the parking lot right now, could you come up with $350? Yeah, you would. You'd come up with it however you could. That was their way to get their $350 entry fee.
Yeah. Wow. And that was for the basic package. It wasn't, that was just the done for you, like software or whatever, the login.
And I think just like the basic, product. Like the website, no product. The
login for 1 year, I think. Wow. Yeah.
Gosh. How predatory. Like,
yeah.
It's yucky. I mean, you hear it across every single one, you know, and everybody right. says, but my MLM is different. And it's not. It's not. Every single person that I talk to on this show has the same story.
It's terrible. Mine has potato packs, though.
The same source. You are definitely the first one to There's have potatoes. This is the first potato interview for sure.
I love it.
So what made you I'm so honored too that it was you. So you're in this, you're going to these recruitment things, you're trying to get people aren't joining. When are you realizing that this is just like a big giant scam and like you need to get out of it ASAP?
I think I realized it when I drove from where I live to about an hour and a half north to go pick up a girl who I was friends with years and years and years back. I'm talking like I was maybe 15 when I last talked to her. And
potential recruit.
Oh yeah. No, a like potential I picked recruit. Her up, okay. Brought her all the way back down an hour and a half to sit through a PBR in someone's living room. Then went out, whatever. And then drove her back an hour and a half and then drove an hour and a half back home.
So just six, for her not to six sign hour up. Round trip.
Yes.
Six yeah. hour round trip.
Oh my God. No, yes.
That's like three movies.
Oh, ma'am. This is a wedding.
I like to put those things into perspective for people oh my God.
Yeah, no, you don't think about it at that time because they're right. telling you like that it's the end of the month. You're like, you're not going to qualify. You're not going to get to this next level. How are you going to get your car if you're not going to get to the next level? Do you have anyone you can call?
Right. It's like in Scientology when they're like, I know you can come up with some money. Doesn't your grandma have a vase that's worth something you can sell? Like, what? You know, it's that sort of thing. Like who's got the money that can join? Who do you've
right.
got to know somebody. You've got to know somebody.
So I sound like a debt collector. I used to be a debt collector.
You're like, this seems so familiar. So you drive 6 hours round trip. You take your friend to this thing.
She wasn't even my friend. Let's be real. Like, she was not my friend.
Right. She was just somebody that was like, I guess so.
It was a girl. You know, it was a girl I met at a party when I was 15. That I had like followed on Instagram.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah. I hit her with the wouldn't you want a white Jeep? And that was what got her to come.
Do you like blueberries?
Do you like magic blueberries?
Wow. And she was like, when she said, she was like, yeah, this isn't for me.
No, she went along with it and then ghosted me, which is like happens to a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, it's not a lost cause. I mean, I didn't know her.
Right.
Like
right.
I would do the same thing.
Right. You were like,
y'all brought me all the way down here for this.
Right. It's totally like a, oh my gosh, I can't believe
it. Why am I here?
Like awkward. Like I'm just going to ghost her. Like,
she's like, what do I do?
Like, oh my gosh.
I'll mute her. So you,
so you go through that with her and then you say, this is a scam.
Yeah.
You're like, this is not sustainable. I can't drive 6 hours every time.
Well, no. And like on top of that, we went to like one of their events where you have to like pay big bucks to get in. And it's like a 3-day event at a hotel convention center. And there's like,
right. And it's always touted as like, you need to be here.
Yeah.
Change your business.
Like you feel like you're going to get like in trouble if you don't go.
Right. And like, yeah, like because people shame those. Like, are you going to convention? No, I couldn't afford it. Oh my God, you're going to miss out on so much. I'll take notes for you.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay.
And the big checks, the hoity-toity checks that they come
massive,
in.
Massive, like, cardboard there. Checks that they have when they get you on stage. And everybody gets their watches or their necklaces or their temporary tattoos or whatever it is that they get on
stage. What was it for Kayani? Everybody. What was it for Kayani? What was the reward? Sorry, I'm talking to my husband.
Big-ass checks.
Just the check, right? Yeah, it was just a
big-ass checks.
Big-ass checks.
Big-ass checks. But I mean, the amount of dopamine you get from standing on stage,
I was scared,
holding a big-ass check in front of thousands of people at this huge thing is like, it's so much that who wouldn't want to be that person? Who wouldn't want
to? I wasn't that person. So I was watching.
Right. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But you're watching that person and right. You're like, you get the dopamine of the excitement of for them. And then you're like, that's going to be me one day.
I do have to say though,
it probably won't be.
No, not at all. Yeah. I did though. Mel Robbins spoke at that event. I love her. That's how I like first found out about Mel Robbins. But other than that, like that's all I gained.
You're like, that's the one good thing.
Yes.
So you leave MLM, you realize it's a scam. You're like, all of these businesses are the same. And then when these huns start popping up in your DMs on Instagram, after you're posting pictures of your child, you know exactly what it is.
Bro, she's fresh out the womb type thing. And they're like, yeah, let me know when you're ready to get rid of the baby weight. I'm like, girl.
You're like, I don't want your magic blueberry juice.
I haven't slept
or whatever it is that you're selling. Yeah. It's all the same and I don't need it.
No, definitely not. And it's like, I've come to notice now, like, I don't know if you saw my whole debacle with my hair where like I went to go get highlights and then it was like horrible.
I think so. Terrible. A little bit. Yeah.
That opened the floodgates for Monet to like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Is that the one that you get harassed about the most, especially because
I'm on baby
in a salon?
No.
Well, no, because you work in a salon as well. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But because this mystery lupus disease, you are on this baby chemo.
Right.
And it causes you to lose your hair.
Yeah. A little bit. I'm showing her my hair.
Baby hair breakage and stuff. So, so now you have the Monet Huns.
I have the perfect fix for
the solution to all of your problems.
Yeah. But then they can't say the C word. Right. Legally.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But then they're like,
that's what it is. We can solve that problem for you.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't have cancer, but thanks anyway. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So it's just really, it's very.
Is that the one that you're like targeted the most for? Because of that?
You think? Like from sharing my story with my health, that's the number one. I remember after I got diagnosed. So after I had left MLM, my father-in-law who got us in didn't really speak with us afterward.
Well,
and
excommunication.
And it happens, and that's life. But after I had gotten diagnosed, he was coming at me with Juice Plus. Because that was going to fix the lupus. So,
right. So no, the
allegedly
blueberry juice didn't work out then.
Well, that was pre-lupus diagnosis. So how we couldn't even know,
right, but he was selling the blueberry juice and it didn't work out. So now he's selling the juice plus,
but that was supposed to help allegedly.
Right. Right. Yeah. The income claim or not the income claims, the health
closures,
the health claims. Yes. On some of these, he's just,
well, can't the FTC come after you?
I mean,
because they seem very scary.
Well, you know, the FTC is, there's a lot of people in the FTC. I don't know about this administration, but famously in the past that have been paid off by big pyramid to sort of just give people slaps on the wrists instead of actually prosecuting anything. And the other thing about the FTC is they can't criminally prosecute anything, only bring about civil charges. So I think it's kind of funny that the regulatory agency that is supposed to protect consumers from these legal scams,
they have no power,
keeps it legal because they're like literally like they can't bite the hand that feeds them. So
that's one big
thing. Yes.
In itself.
So yes.
That's a triangle of wealth, girl. Yes,
that is also a triangle.
Of wealth this time though.
Yes, not health, a triangle of wealth of information. Wealth. Yeah. So yes, you know, there's certain things you can and do. But Kiani actually was, I don't know, what years were you with them? Like, when did you leave? What year?
What year did we leave Kiani, babe? Way before, 2016.
Okay. Because the next year in 2017, there was a pyramid scheme complaint filed against them. And what was really funny, and again, it goes against this whole like FTC being protected, like I just said.
Right.
What Kiani said, and I pulled this up because I was like, oh man, this is so good. What Kiani said about this.
Yeah.
Let me find it.
I'm trying to look it up over here too.
they said that it was legally baseless, this lawsuit. And where is it? Oh my gosh, of course I can't find it now. It was hilarious because they're like, it's legally baseless and you don't know anything about pyramid scheme law if you think that we're a pyramid scheme. And I'm just like, no, like what? This is ridiculous.
Make it make sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please.
Let's see. Of course, I can't find it now.
Well, and the main doctor.
All these things up, and of course, I can't find it now.
Maybe no, that's okay. I'm totally unprepared too. It's not like I've had a couple weeks in advance to prepare or anything.
Oh, here it is. It was in a totally different tab. My bad.
You're okay.
I'm wrong. It said that Kiani and its cohorts. And its cohorts represented a plaintiff that Kiani provides a business opportunity, quote unquote, for a lifetime and quote, a lifestyle you have always dreamed of. The plaintiffs and hundreds of thousands have joined Kiani and have become distributors. Plaintiff did not make money as promised, as with the case of hundreds of thousands of Kiani distributors before and after her, the plaintiff failed. Plaintiff and those similarly situated failed, even though they were committed and put in the time and effort. They failed because they were doomed from the start by a Kiani marketing plan that systemically rewards recruiting distributors over the sale of products, which is something that I always say. But they decided that in response, Kiani said, not only is the complaint legally baseless, there we go. That's the word right there, is legally baseless, because they're protected.
By the FTC, who's supposed to protect
by the us. FTC, but it also contains what appears to us to be deliberate or at least extremely careless. And here we go. Again, the blaming of the others. It's not us. It's clearly you. The extremely careless misstatements of fact. The plaintiff's counsel in this case does not appear to us to have a good understanding of our company, the direct selling industry, or the parameters of federal pyramid scheme law. Again, it's protected. The firm has recently targeted a large number of direct sellers without any apparent regard for the specific features or characteristics of any particular direct seller's product, compensation plan, or methods of doing business. It's just word salad. Basically, that says to me, nana, nana, boo, boo, you can't do nothing because we're protected by federal law. Ha ha. Good luck next time. And unfortunately, what happened was the case... according to Truth and Advertising, as of right now, I don't know when this last was updated, but as of May of 2019, it's still sitting in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in Idaho, in arbitration. So again, with multi-level marketing companies, those contracts you sign have really airtight arbitration clauses. That was a really big problem we had with getting any sort of traction with LuLaRoe, and why we had to go like through the state, because their arbitration clause was so tight. And it's the same with this. Like, sorry, you could sue us, but we have to go to arbitration first. And then basically what happens in arbitration is they just take you for everything you got. And so people say, never mind. And these cases don't ever They have the best lawyers. They make the most money. They're billion-dollar companies. Like, these people have so much money. You cannot David and Goliath them on that end. It just doesn't work, unfortunately. It's heartbreaking, but it just doesn't work. Oh, so.
Well, have you seen the guy who was the face of, or the doctor of Kayani, face of the medical, whatever. He's no longer with them anymore. And he's actually involved in lawsuits with them as well.
Oh, well, yeah. That's great. And didn't you say something like the founder died in like some freak accident?
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Respect to the dead. Let me just look it up because I don't want to say anything wrong.
Of course, of course.
But it was really unfortunate.
You hear strange things like this in these companies. I mean, it's not unheard of to hear about weird tragedies happening in these companies, unfortunately. Did you ever hit any ranks in Kiani?
The first one, Jade. Not even. I think I barely hit Jade.
Jade.
Jade, that's like number one.
Jade. All right, here we've got Jade. I have the income disclosure statement. So only 9.65% of active distributors, and an active distributor is literally anybody who made one purchase within a calendar year. So it's like pretty much anybody that joins would be
anyone and everyone. Active. Come as you are.
Jade, it doesn't even have like the rank before these ranks, which is where I'm going to assume the majority of the people are, because all of these other are like 0.02, 0.01, but Jade is the second one down from Garnett, and it says it's 9.65%, and that the gross average monthly earnings is $298 a month, which is nothing at all. It's $300 is not a full-time income.
No, but you anywhere. Can easily take that.
People complain about a livable wage. People complain about a livable wage, and then they join an MLM, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're making less than minimum wage in an MLM.
Yeah.
Not even $300 a month is what the average was at the rank you were at.
They preach about jobs being JOBs. Do they use that in LuLaRoe?
No, not really. I mean, maybe just a little bit, broke. But I have heard that, but I don't necessarily remember hearing it.
Okay. So I have the news article here.
Okay.
Jim Hansen Sr., who was one of the founders, I believe, his sons, Kirk and Jim Hansen Jr., and then six other family members all died in a plane crash.
Oh my gosh. When was this?
2019. Yes.
So way after you had left.
Yeah. Of course. But I was still
you're still seeing this stuff because, again, you're still friends with certain people.
On Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. You still see it.
Yeah.
So what did you see happening in the aftermath of this tragedy?
Oh my goodness, girl. So, I mean, some of like the people who were my upline were really great about it. I mean, like, were great people. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about them. And what they posted was, I mean, respectful, you know, when someone passes. But some other top earners posted some stuff about, I mean, they always loop it into, you know, turn tragedy into a new.
Right.
I don't know how to put it in words.
Right. Use this tragedy to exploit others, I think is probably the best way to put it. It's not what they say, but that's what they mean.
right. Yeah. So, I mean, and so like seeing the polar opposites of like different people's takes on this tragedy happening was insane to me. And it was like solidification of like, you did the right thing by leaving. This is not cool. Like,
right. Yeah. We saw a lot of that this past year in 2020 with all the stuff that was happening with, the Black Lives Matter movement and the beauty has no skin tone with Unique, where the presenters were putting every single color of their foundation,
that's
which
blackface,
by the
honey.
Way was like six shades, and like the dark tones are like orange, just horribly orange. And they're putting these shades everywhere. And like, beauty has no skin tone, which was so like, just so
tone deaf. That's tone deaf.
So insensitive and tone deaf.
Ridiculous.
And it got called out. And another one that I remembered is LuLaRoe had a shirt named Irma. So when Hurricane Irma happened, everybody was like, oh my God, you need to get a Hurricane Irma sale. And I was just like, I can't believe. And then the next year, LuLaRoe also had a jacket called Harvey, and it happened again.
Stop.
I wish I could. So it's like, you see these things and MLMs really do take tragedy and turn it into triumph to recruit and to sell. And again, with those vitamin sticker patches in the Shanann Watts case, when she was found murdered because she was a rep with them, there were so many reps that were like, in honor of Shanann. And I'm just like,
did you know her? I
cannot believe you're doing this, you know,
because like, if you knew her, you wouldn't.
Right. You wouldn't. Exactly. Mm. Exactly. These people like, it's just so gross. So again, we see it in this one too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's maybe terrible. Maybe you're not all different at the end. Really. Oh, wow. So now you're total. I mean, you were anti-MLM before there was probably even that term. Like, you were like, this is a scam. Yeah. These things are, I experienced it. I saw it. I know.
It was at the point, like in the very, I feel like in 2017 or 2018, on Facebook, when I had girls messaging me, like I was literally sending them job listings. I'm like, girl, you could make so much more here. Like, stop doing this to yourself. And I literally, like, I wanted them to seek out better for themselves, especially the moms. Right. And it wasn't until I became a mom that I was like, I understand why moms fall for this.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Because they use that whole like locked up bird in a cage feeling, mm-hmm. you know,
don't you want to be more than just a mom? I mean, like, you're like, oh my God, being a mom is so great. I totally understand. But like, don't you want to be like more than that?
Yeah. Like, no,
and you're just,
I don't
like,
want to look at my phone while I'm changing.
Right. You're like, yeah. You know, we had a discussion on Clubhouse this morning, about that whole mom shaming thing where it's like, mm-hmm. there was this post that somebody had posted and I saw it and it was like, this girl's like, when I see people that comment on my post, sounds like MLM, but okay. I'm like, and then she posted all these things. And one of them was like, sounds like I'm a full-time mom, but okay. And I was like, I am more of a full-time mom before and after MLM than I was when I was an MLM, because it took all of my time and all of my energy. Yeah. And I denied my children so many things for my MLM. Mm-hmm. And this ridiculous thing that was like, you know.
Well, they also drill it into your head. We're your family now.
Like, yeah, like we are not healthy. We really support you. We really understand what you want. And it's a cult, you know, it's a cult.
Yeah.
And I know you saw that cult aspect and that cult mentality. And I'm sure like you saw it a while ago in every single DM that you get. You're it's just like, sad. Oh, it's a cult. Like, this is like,
but it's emotionally exhausting too, to just kind of like explain to every single one.
Right.
You know,
and you know, these people will never, nobody wants to hear that they're wrong. Nobody wants to hear that they were scammed. Nobody wants to hear that they made a bad decision or that they put all their eggs in one basket and there's a giant hole in the basket. And they're just like, I'm just going to pretend everything's fine until I can figure it out. And you get stuck in these schemes for a really long time.
Well, and two, they show you like how to fake it till you make it, like with the whole posting BS.
Right. Right. Yeah.
My mind can't comprehend that. I couldn't.
Collect the cash from the sale you got, buy yourself something nice, post it on Instagram, and then use your credit card to buy more stuff so you can sell more stuff to make more cash.
Are you a financial advisor?
I'm like, how much should I set aside for taxes? And they're like, I don't know, like a pretty good amount.
we don't file taxes.
I don't understand. Like, is there a formula that I should, you should just ask a CPA. And I'm just like, I guess so then, huh? Cool. This isn't a business, is it? Like, this is Okay. You don't know anything either.
Where's cool. HR?
Where's HR? HR doesn't care either. HR is like, I got my money, you loser. You're the customer.
Period.
Sorry, I'm not even really HR. I'm just the owner's cousin and I needed a job.
I was just looking you up on Clubhouse. You brought up Clubhouse and I forget everything. Uh-huh. So I looked you up and followed you before I forgot again. Cause I meant to do it yesterday.
No, it's, yeah. I love that. I love it. I love it. It's such a fun app. So we do funny. Like anti MLM chats in the morning. If I like, don't have anything else to do, I'll pop up on and meeting so many new people and getting to spread a message like this podcast, but live. Like taking questions
in real
time and taking questions from the audience and like doing AMA. Yeah. So if you want to do an AMA, I'm actually going to do my first one this Sunday. I know this is going to come out like a month or two after this That's all fine. Even happens. That's but if you want to do an AMA on Clubhouse after your episode comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really fun. I think we could have a really good time.
You're amazing. You're
I
too
think
sweet
we could
to
have
me.
A really good time.
You're too sweet to me. MLM damaged yeah. me.
Yeah, but you're on the other side of it. And you're like,
oh, yeah.
You know, you help educate and you help tell people, hey, these are scams. Even,
and it's, yeah.
even when people aren't ready to hear it, you know, you plant a seed and you don't ever know that you might be like that person that helps them, that makes them go, oh, maybe I should look into this a little bit more. Or maybe I should
I wonder
on
if there's
link.
Like a feature on Instagram to see how many people have blocked me. For that,
there's probably an app that you can download that'll
imagine
tell you, like it how would. Many people have
because I try.
I definitely know that
exhausting.
I'm blocked by quite a few Huns.
Mm.
I know, like all my, you know, I've been more conscious as I'm growing the podcast and growing my Instagram following, and
right.
and this movement is growing. I'm more conscious of my followers, and I'm more conscious of like posting more regularly and right. interacting with people. And mm-hmm. so I look at my insights and it's like, oh, you know, you got 65 new people this week, but 14 yeah. unfollowed you. And I was like, those
Yikes.
Must have been like old Huns that are like, what?
Is it a recycled account?
What's happening?
Used to be-
Why is she talking about this? Yes, because my account is my old LuLaRoe account. Because I thought the best way to reach the most people would be to just use that account because they were following me to see LuLaRoe. So if they're going to follow me to see the bad stuff. And I think I turned
theme.
A lot of people.
I love
a lot
it.
Of people that way, but I also randomly will lose a lot of people. And then I'll be scrolling through my feed and I'm like, is this a thrive? Like, do I follow a thrive hun? And so then I'm like, ugh, unfollow. So
yes,
even
man,
I still
do.
Follow a ton of huns that I don't even know about. So
yeah,
I'm well, like, follow, unfollow. I'm like, they're everywhere.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I followed them when they were legitimate and now they're Huns, or if I followed them and when they were Huns and they're still Huns, or when they were LuLaRoe and now they still thrive. I don't know.
Thrive.
Prove it. Thrive, Herbalife, Amway, whatever.
What is it? I've noticed recently too, a lot of them are like, I don't even really sell it. Like, I'm just in it for the discount. I've noticed a lot of people that are talking to me about this. I'm like, what discount, sis?
Yeah.
Where is it? Show me the receipt.
On the overpriced subpar product that I could buy in like 10 other places today, right now, and have right now and not have to wait for shipping or anything for less
yep.
that's better.
Right.
So why do I want to join your company for a discount when it's not really even that big of a discount?
Riddle me this. I don't know.
And it's because it's the numbers. It's the numbers. Anybody in is spending money. Anybody in is spending money. Even if they're getting it for the discount, they're still spending the money. People
What's
that are
that
in the MLM
mean?
Are the customer.
Right.
Only
10%. And they don't realize it.
Yeah. Here's a crazy statistic. Only 10% of sales in MLM actually leave the circle of MLM to an actual retail customer. Only 10% of sales. It's so incestuous inside. Like, it's literally people just buying the product.
Buying and selling to each other.
Just buying and selling to each other.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what I find.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, I'm very upset. Okay. I haven't been able to openly talk anti-MLM in a long time mm-hmm. because honestly, like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And
right.
I feel like there's a very thin line, right?
Yes.
Like, you walk this very thin line.
It's a tightrope for sure.
Yes. And it's like, just I was just thinking about like the upline thing where they're like promising you that they're gonna help you and all this stuff, and legitimately like you get in. I know I had a friend who was in Monate, and like she got in, she's asking for help, she's like, I thought you guys were gonna help me, and they're like, man,
we have our own. If you would have just showed up, run, hun.
If you would have showed up to the Zoom, if you would have showed up to the group chat, and she's like, I'm there, you just don't pay attention to me, you know?
Now, all of your questions would have been answered if you just were at the thing. Well, I was at my job. Well, maybe you should quit your job then. You're like, what?
I love being just over broke, sis. Sorry.
Yeah, I like my contributions and my benefits and my paid time off and all that stuff. You know, the things that you actually get in an actual job, the promotions that you get, that you maintain and never, ever, ever have to continually qualify for. To use Target again as a reference, once you hit manager, you don't have to continuously prove to corporate every month that you're still a good manager.
Yeah, just show
do
up.
Your job. They'll know. They'll know if you're not a good manager. Right. You don't have to be like, I did it. I got enough people to come in and buy.
Well, and they can buy themselves into rank anyway. So it's not even like,
right.
But are you getting promoted?
That's the thing, right? Like in a traditional job, if you get a promotion,
it's earned.
That's an earned promotion that you keep. You don't have to qualify for that promotion every month. You don't have to cold message a bunch of people or hand out flyers outside of the store or get people to come in to keep that promotion.
Right.
Like you do with MLM. So when people say it's just corporate America's pyramid scheme, I'm like, it's not though.
No.
Only in terms of a hierarchy of you know, like who you answer to. That's literally it.
But that's everywhere.
Right. And MLMs are so good at taking legitimate business things like a corporate ladder structure.
Right.
And twisting it for obviously their monetary gain, using these things as like, look, it's a legitimate job. It's just like corporate America. There's a manager and a manager and a manager and everybody's, you know, micromanaging.
Everyone's manager.
It's like, it's not though.
So who's an employee? If everyone's a manager, who's an employee?
It's like, exactly. Everyone can be a manager. It's like, all you gotta do is recruit more managers.
Right.
We're all managing each other. All right. Well, at the very end, I like to ask rapid fire questions, and I think your answers are going to be really fun because say whatever you want to say. And I just love it. Okay. So one word that encompasses how you feel about MLM.
Garbage.
One warning to somebody who wants to join a multi-level marketing company.
Don't do it for your sanity. No, one word. Insane.
No. Just one warning to somebody.
Oh yeah. Don't do it for your sanity.
For your mental health. Just stay away.
Please.
Worst MLM in your opinion.
Herbalife.
I mean, they're a legitimate one to hate.
They're
one of the big ones.
Yikes.
The hardest lesson that you learned while in multi-level
marketing. Too good to be true is too good to be true.
And one positive, or any as much positive as you want, but a positive takeaway that you learned while MLM that you still use.
I'm able to talk to people out of nowhere. Sometimes I still have social anxiety, but I mean, like I literally was like thrown out to the wolves. So,
that's a great
seeing somebody in public and being like, hey, I really do like your shirt. I wasn't able to do that before.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That was great. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for being so candid and spending your evening, your Friday evening. I mean, it is Friday and we're spending it here. Oh, where's my medicine, husband?
Ding, like ding, waiting ding. For it.
Ring the little bell. Again, thank you for being so candid and for answering my questions and for talking about this crazy MLM that I didn't even know about. So thank you for that little
bit. I wish I didn't know about it either. Thank you for having me on. Truly.
Yeah. And as I say at the end of all this, if you're listening to this and you want to share your story, please hit me up at therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. It's not as scary as it seems. It's actually really fun. We had a really good time. I always leave these going, oh, I just like made a new friend. And it's like such a fun, it's such a fun conversation. And yeah, my face always hurts after
bonding over traumatic experiences. Whether it's like laughing
or crying or smiling. And yes, the bond over traumatic experiences is like so real. So, so yeah. Good. So if you're listening and you want to be on it, like, hit me up. Let's tell your story.
Yeah.
So yeah, awesome. I will see you guys again next Sunday for a new episode. And you know, do the thing, like, subscribe, share, tell your anti-MLM people that I exist. Let's blow it up and let's end that stigma of failure in an industry that's systemically designed for you to fail, right?
Yep. Seriously.
All right.
Over it.
Thank you again. You're amazing.
Thank you.
And if you ever need anything, you know, just hit me up.
I'm local.
Totally. We should go get some tacos when it's safe to get tacos. Ugh,
it's never safe. I'm open. Never safe.
Never safe to get tacos. When it's safe to get tacos, I'm hitting you up and we're going. We're gonna do that.
We can do that.
Okay. Awesome. All right. See you guys next Sunday. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.